he did for you and every single one of these, one of you in this room, what he did for us on the cross. And when we can come to understand that, and we can understand the sacrifice that he did on our behalf, that is when we're going to really come to understand what worship is. And so that's my heart for us to learn today, and that's what I want us to just, I want to impart to you guys. That's something so precious to my heart. But hey, we're going to have fun. This is going to be challenging, but we're going to have fun. I don't know if you know me. You probably don't know me, but I can be a little bit silly at times. I can have a bit of fun. So, you know, if I make a joke, you're going to laugh. I know you are. And if you don't find it funny, you can still laugh too. How your fake laugh's doing today? Are they doing good? Yeah? That's right. So, I don't know if any of you brought a Bible with you. The Bible's a great little book to have on you. If you haven't got it with you, that's quite all right, because I've prepared a PowerPoint slide. Hey, how wonderful is that picture? I was really impressed. I've got a couple friends with me today, James and Dave at the back. Dave, James, put your hand up. These guys are great. They came with me and kept me company. Friends are good to have. Dave's a little graphic designer, and I made that. Dave, it's good, isn't it?
It's good, man.
It's good, bro. That's right. Anyway, let's take us to a first little passage of scripture that we're going to have a look at today. And this is... Yo, that's a small... I did not realise it was going to be that small. That's why you don't make your own PowerPoints. So look, we're going to go to Luke chapter 7, verses 36 to 50. I mean, yeah, we're doing a little job up there. Obviously my PowerPoint wasn't good enough. I'm going to read it for us. But if you can see the screen, we're going to have a little read-along. But Luke chapter 7, verse 36 to 50 reads... This is the story of Jesus and being anointed by a sinful woman. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. Did you just hear that? She's kissing Jesus' feet. Any of you like feet in here? No? There's a little side. This woman was grateful. Can I get in there? Anyway, let's keep going. Verse 39. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher. Tell me, teacher. He said, verse 41, two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now which of them will love him more? Verse 43, Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. Then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet. She wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I had entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Verse 47, therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little. Then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. The other guests began to say amongst themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Wow, that's good news. Yeah, that's good news. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Incredible. One more little bit. Romans 12, verse 1. Romans 12, verse 1 says, you're getting a good dose of the Bible. If you didn't wake up and read your Bible this morning, we're getting it today. Amen. Chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Hey, let me just read that again. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. That's incredible. I don't know if any of you guys know a guy called Matt Redman. Anyone know a guy called Matt Redman? A few of you will know. He's an amazing songwriter. And he wrote this song called The Heart of Worship. And that's kind of why I've kind of titled this little talk, The Heart of Worship. And let me tell you a little bit about this song, right? So Matt Redman, at 14 years of age, went to a little church near Watford, kind of northwest of London, in a place called Chorleywood. He went to a church called St. Andrew's Chorleywood. And there was a man there called Mike Pilavachi. And Mike Pilavachi saw this young 14-year-old in the back of the church on a Sunday morning. He was giving himself away in worship. He didn't care about who was around him. He was just there, and you could see his heart was fully turned towards God. And Matt and Mike, they sparked up a relationship, and those two guys went off to plant a church called Soul Survivor Watford. I don't know if any of you guys been to the Soul Survivor festivals in the summer. Yeah, a few of you. I've been to the Soul Survivor festivals. They're incredible, incredible times of worship to go on there. And anyway, at Soul Survivor Watford in the church, they went through, Mike kind of discerned that they went through a period of time where their times of worship were getting like a little bit dry. They were kind of, people were just like, oh, here we go again. You know, I'm not really fussed about this. And Mike had kind of sensed this. And he took it, he went to the extreme, right? He went really drastic. He said, right, you know what? We're banning the band. Okay? Can you imagine if you walk to the point one month, and you come in and Matt comes up to the front and he's like, guys, we're having no worship team today. You know what? We're just going to worship in another way. Most of you would be like, well, I don't know what to do, right? Like, you kind of walk around like, oh my goodness, what is the band kind of thing, right? But you know what? I thought this was crucial because actually it was saying, is the music our worship? No. Is it possible for us to bring an offering of worship that doesn't require song? And I think that was the key of what Matt wanted to get across, and that is what he wanted to get across in his song, The Heart of Worship. And it's the two lines in the chorus that really inspired me. It says, I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. And I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made it, because it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. And I think these two lines of this song relate so wonderfully to what I want to kind of share with you guys today, but also to the scriptures that we read, because it says in that first line, it's all about you, Jesus, because actually at the end of the day, our worship is always Jesus-focused. It's always about him, it's always for him, and it's always because of him. When we can get a revelation of what he's done, that's gonna move us to worship. And then secondly, it says, I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made it when it's all about you. That's the heart of sacrifice. That's about saying, you know what, God, it's not about me, it's not about my agenda, it's not about what I want to do. God, it's about you. And that's the two things, and they're the two real kind of key points that I want you guys to take home today. But in that passage, Luke 7, 36 that we read, it talks about this, talks about the lady who comes to Jesus' feet. And as I kind of spoke a little bit about when I was reading that passage. I don't know about you, but I'm not sure if I'd be so quick to go and kiss someone's feet who's done something good for me. Like, you know those times when you come out of a restaurant and you've just lost your wallet and you're like patting all your sides and you're like, oh my goodness, where's my wallet? I don't know, you're panicking. And then your friend just strolls up just like, yo, here it is, I got it. And I'm grateful. Like, I want to grab them, I want to crush them, I want to kiss them. But let me tell you, I'm not going anywhere near their feet. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, let's get real here. Like, I'm not going near their feet. I love them, but this lady was obviously grateful, right? And I told you a little bit also about how I go to Bible college. I study in London. I'm second year of a theology degree. And in theology, we like to dig into the Greek because we're nerds like that. I don't know if you know, but the Bible was not written in English. Hello. And the Bible's written in Greek in the New Testament and Hebrew in the Old. And in the New Testament, the Greek word that they use for worship is this word called proskuneo, right? And proskuneo means, well, if you cut it down, so pros means to come towards, and kuneo means to kiss. And so this proskuneo idea that they use for worship is about coming towards to kiss. And then we look in this passage, we see this woman coming who knows she's a sinful woman, and she comes to the feet of Jesus and is kissing his feet. And I just believe this is one of the most beautiful signs of worship that we can see in the Bible. It was at this point that I had in my mind images of, I don't know if any of you guys have ever been on YouTube. I know it was a little while back now, but you type into YouTube reactions to Zayn Malik leaving One Direction. Have you ever done this? it's pretty hilarious. You can see, like, predominantly, obviously not exclusively, but predominantly young girls who are, like, crying and kissing cardboard cutouts of Zayn Malik. I don't know. But anyway, I didn't want to show you those videos because I didn't want you to lose sight of what an incredible thing this is. This woman would come and kiss the feet because she was grateful. It's because she realized what Jesus had done. It says, and what did it say there? It said in verse 50, your faith has saved you, go in peace. This is incredible news. And then there's that second passage that we looked at, Romans 12, verse 1. I offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. And I believe this is the second pillar of worship that we need to understand. And it's this idea of sacrifice. And I was thinking, how on earth can I help explain and help you guys to understand what it means to sacrifice? And I'm thinking, oh, what kind of metaphors, crazy illustrations can I come up with? And bam, comes into my head, right? And I'm thinking about breakfast, okay? I'm thinking about the full English breakfast, you know, the beans, and I'm thinking about mushrooms. And do you guys like mushrooms in your full English breakfast? No,
yes, please.
Mushrooms back there, yeah. And so I'm thinking about full English breakfast, and I'm thinking, okay, right. So on that plate, right, the chicken has been generous, yeah? But the pig, God bless the pig, has been sacrificial. You know what I mean? I'm just going to let that drop a second. There it goes. Yep. The chicken is given its eggs, and oh, so thank you, chicken, for your eggs. You're so generous, right? You're so generous. But man, the pig gave itself for that food, right? The pig gave itself for the bacon. Oh my goodness. And I'm just like, thank you, Lord, for that sacrificial pig. Do you know what I'm saying? But let's not joke about this. Let's not think, oh no, right, no need to be generous anymore. Obviously, we don't need to be generous. That is not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that actually, sacrifice is about taking generosity one step further. It's about saying, you know what, I give myself for something greater. I give myself for something greater. And I believe that's what the heart of worship is. The heart of worship is, God, I thank you. God, I thank you for what you did on that cross. And then secondly, God, you gave your life for me, so I'm going to give my life back to you. And I've got that little slide where I've got it written down, because that's the crux that I want people to take away. Jesus gave his life for us, so our worship to him is giving it back as a living sacrifice. In Luke 21, Jesus tells us about the widow who came into the temple courts, and he sees people giving money, and he sees these rich men who come along and they give tons of money to the offering. And you know what? Thanks. They were being really generous, and that's amazing. It is. But then Jesus sees this little widow with two copper coins that she puts in. And Jesus is amazed. Hey, when it says in the Bible Jesus was amazed, I think we've got to sit up and listen. Jesus was amazed as he saw this widow giving out for her poverty. These other guys gave out their wealth. They were generous. But she sacrificially gave out of her poverty. And I believe she caught a glimpse of what it meant to worship. She caught a glimpse of what it meant to sacrifice for Jesus. That actually, we don't want to give something to God that costs us nothing. Hey, worship team, would you just mind coming up? We're coming into land here. So if the worship team could just jump up and just play holy in the background, just play some of those chords that just makes everything sound better, you know what I mean? But this is the heart, and this is the crux. First and foremost, we come to Jesus thankful. That's the thing that's gonna stir up a heart of worship in us. It's gonna be an understanding that God, you gave it all for us in Jesus, you gave it all. We're so thankful we come to your feet humble. We come low, we come prostrate. And we say thank you, and we come and we kiss your feet. But then what we also do is we say, Lord, thank you. And now I give my life back to you. My name is Samuel, right? In the Bible, Samuel was this kid I can't remember his mom's name, that's a nightmare, isn't it? But Samuel was a gift from God. And then his mum gave him back to the temple. I know that's a bit of an odd thing to think about today, but it's this idea of, God, you've given us so much, and Lord, I'm going to give it back. I'm going to give my life. And so, you know what, I've asked these guys if they wouldn't mind just playing this song for us, The Heart of Worship. And so, hey, can we all stand? And you know what, it's from this place, and it's from this understanding in our hearts, it's from this penny that's dropped, that we can go and live a practical life of worship. What does that look like? It looks like, you know what, I'm gonna make it to church. I'm gonna make it there. I might even go on half an hour early to help set up, because you know what, Lord, that cost me something, but it's my act of worship today. You might get some homework and you're like, dang, I can't be bothered with this homework, I don't want to do this. But actually, you're gonna be like, actually, this is a privilege. Yeah? This is a privilege that I get to learn. And you know what, Lord, what I'm gonna do is an act of worship for you today. And you know there's another aspect of this. I'm going to bring a sacrifice of praise. I'm going to be like, you know what? I don't know what my emotions are like right now. I don't know if I'm even feeling like it. You could be stood in this room right now, and you might be thinking, I don't know what you're talking about, Samuel. I don't even know why I'm here. A friend brought me. I'm not really feeling it right now. And my encouragement to you right now is, give it to God. Remember, I don't know if you know this, but in John 3:16 it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but should have eternal life. And that's the truth for every single one of you today. And that is the truth that's going to cause us to worship. It's going to cause our eyes to lift to heaven. So why don't we bring a sacrifice of praise right now? Why don't we sing to God? Why don't we sing to him?